Sunday school teachers, because they're some of the most important people in this congregation. They have such value in their hands as our children. Are you getting the message from Sunday morning? Are you getting the CD? Are you getting the DVD? Because you can't skip a meal because you're teaching somebody else. If for some reason you haven't, if somehow you haven't been getting the DVD or CD, or you haven't been going to the podcast, please don't allow yourself not to have a Sunday morning meal because of your children. Amen. We're grateful for you and all that you do. Amen. So we want to dismiss our children at this time. I like to keep the screen down. Amen. If you'll turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse number 27. The title of my message is Stopped at the Border.
Come on.
There's so much media, so much focus on the border. If there's a country that I love more than the United States, I love Mexico. My wife and I have been in Mexico all over dozens and dozens of times. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, we were there. But in verse 27, it says, "And there shall in no wise enter in to it." We're talking about heaven. "Anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." God's put restrictions on who's going to get into heaven. The idea of many people is, well, if I live better than you or you, well, God will judge me worthy to get to heaven. But he puts parameters. Amen. If you turn to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able." Glory to God. Revelation 22. And verse 14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to enter, a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." I want to get there. And our last scripture is found in John, the 3rd chapter. And verse number 5, very familiar. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." God's put some restrictions. They're not hard, but they have to be obeyed. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. God, it saved us. It keeps us safe, Lord. It gives us a perfect path to follow, a lamp unto our feet. We would not stumble, God, if we know your word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So Jesus tells us that we must enter in at the strait gate. The word "strait" in the Greek means narrow, with obstacles on each side. And there are many who will not be able to enter into. The problem I had when I first came into the church was this, is how can all of these good people not be saved if they haven't been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? But it's not my place to judge who should enter and who should not. But we're judged based on what the Word of God says. Revelation tells us there are gates into the holy city, and Jesus made it very clear that unless you are born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's some confusion as to when you enter into the kingdom of God. The word kingdom here in the Greek means royalty or the realm of God or where God resides. You see, you have to enter into the realm of God before you're ever able to enter into the heaven that God has prepared for them that love him. So you have to be in the realm of God. You have to have access to the things of God. It won't be a surprise to anybody that they made it to heaven because they've already experienced a type and shadow of heaven here on earth before we're ever taken to the place he's prepared for us. It's like going from one country to another. There are border checks and there are inspections before you can get into that country. Years ago when we visited Europe, long before the European common market, every time we went from one country to another, if we went from Germany to France, there was a border check and you had to show your passport. And now Europe is pretty much free. As long as you get into one country, you can get into all of the countries. There were citizenship papers declaring you a right to entry. Now, the country you enter into has a different language than the one you came out of. And the new country has different governments and a new ruler over the people. Even their currency is different. You can't use what you valued in the old place in the new place. And the customs of the new kingdom were established thousands of years ago and are not going to be changed. And you must abide by their laws and customs or you will be asked to leave. When we were in Switzerland some years ago, it's probably one of the most beautiful countries I've ever been in. The mountains with glaciers and snow-capped mountains over surrounding lakes. And I asked people there, well, how do I become a citizen of Switzerland? And there's only one, it's not a very crowded place. There's only one way you can become a citizen of Switzerland. You have to marry someone that lives there. And I'm telling you this morning, you can't get into heaven until you marry someone who lives there. Hallelujah. There are some advocates of open borders, meaning there are no restrictions on crossing over. They might see all of the benefits of the new country. I see all kinds of benefits to being in heaven, folks. They're described in the Bible, but they just don't feel like they should have to follow any kind of rules in order to get the benefits of the new country. Just accept the name of the new king, and you're exempt from following any of the laws of the country. Commit to the king of that country, and you'll be fine. Why should I have to restrict my lifestyle to receive the new benefits? Does any of this sound familiar? This could preach. It really could. My great-great-grandfather and mother came from Germany. Many of you that are sitting here had relatives, maybe four generations back, that came from a different country, from somewhere in the world. My great-great-grandparents were retained at Ellis Island, owned by the federal government for immigration inspection. And they were retained there. Sometimes they were retained there for weeks. They had to give their life story, where they came from, what were their skill sets and values, and why did they want to enter into the United States. Everyone who came to the United States between 1892 and 1954 passed through the immigration station of Ellis Island. There were over 12 million immigrants that came through Ellis Island, and now Ellis Island is where the Statue of Liberty stands. Why did they submit to all of the questions and immigration forms? Because they were tired of where they lived before. They wanted more freedom. They want an opportunity to develop a relationship with God that they didn't have in the place that they came from, and give their children a better future. And that's you and me, most likely everybody here. Thank God they wanted a better life so I could live a better life. Thank God they were willing to submit to restrictions and examination before they came into the greatest country, in my estimation, of the entire world. Any of you have parents or grandparents that entered in at the straight gate? They were tired of the old life and decided to go through God's immigration process. Is there something more for me? Is there something that would restrict my life? That's okay, because I'm looking for the benefits. I'm looking for all of the advantages that God can give me. They entered in through the gate that had many obstacles on each side. And today, there are those who want all of the benefits of the kingdom of God, but they don't want to be examined by the one who is an authority over all of God's realm. Nor will they submit to take his name in baptism or seek his spirit. And if you're not married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm sorry, you can't be a part of this new country. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, if you will, of all of these people who their faith never failed them. And God's saying, you know, look to these people and what they did. And verse number 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. It's the same as the children of Israel. Come out of bondage, come out of sin, come out of heavy labor, and follow God to the point where you're saying, I don't want what I was in. I want something new. I want to be on the path to a land flowing with milk and honey, and I don't ever want to go back to what I came. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 and verse 12 says, Wherefore Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Amen. This is not our home. We're strangers and pilgrims. We feel uncomfortable. If you're starting to feel comfortable in this place, there's something wrong, because you know what? This isn't where God intended us to live for eternity. Amen. I was thinking this morning as I opened my eyes, what is it going to be like in order to be in heaven? And eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We can't imagine, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be stopped at the border. 1 Corinthians 6. I want to start from number one. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Can you imagine? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to the judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brethren goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? You know, it's better to be defrauded by somebody and still have the blessing of God on your life. There's some things that completely paralyze us because it's unfair, and I understand that. I've been in that place over and over again, but I just hand it off to God and say, God, you take care of it, because I don't want it to affect my spirit, and I don't want to be stopped at the border. Verse 8, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit. We all stood at the border at one point. And none of us were qualified to step over into a country, into the realm of God. But you're washed.
Amen.
You're sanctified.
Amen.
Come on in.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
We made the choice. You know, you can't just simply say, yeah, all those of you that want to be saved, just walk in. See, the gate is straight or it's narrow. You know how narrow it is? One at a time. I don't care if your wife is saved, you're not saved until you walk through the gate. Your children are not saved because of your commitment. They have to make a commitment of their own. Amen. If you'll turn to Hosea. Chapter 2, verse 23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And shall say, they shall say, Thou art my God. Amen. And then if you'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There's a new citizenship that we have that we never had before. A few weeks ago, actually on June 21st, I was approved for global entry. Back in February, when we were coming back from Mexico, we came into Chicago O'Hare, and we waited 2.5 hours in order to get through immigration, line upon line upon line. And it was late at night. Everybody was tired. Everybody wanted to get home or to their next leg of the trip. And so I said to my wife, we've got to go for global entry. And I just got my global entry card. Awesome. I can enter the United States from any place in the world and never have to go through immigration. Don't have to stop and have an immigration officer look at my passport and say, well, where were you and how long were you there and why were you there? And then stamp the book and then go on to customs and have to go through the same procedure again. But there's something called global entry. And they don't just give it to everybody. In fact, when we came from Mexico a couple of weeks ago, I saw the long lines at O'Hare, you know. But we were able to walk through. Because I'm somebody. Amen. Now, they just didn't give it to us. I had to pay a fee in order to just make application. And the background check for this global entry took literally a month and a half. They had to check everything. They had to see if there was any felonies or misdemeanors, if there were anything that would be suspicious. And then I had to have my fingerprints taken in order to be able to have them do another background check. And then after we got to that stage, then I had to drive to O'Hare and I had to meet in a special office with a immigration officer who then questioned me again over and over again about my background and why do I want to have this global entry. And then they took my picture and they said, we'll let you know, you know. So I wasn't sure when we walked out whether or not this was going to be approved or not. But I figured, you know what? I'll go through all of those steps. Then whenever I want, I can walk right back into the United States and know, you know what? Nobody is going to question me ever again because I have been approved. Amen, amen. Why go through all of that? Is it worth it? You know, a little bit of time. Well, if you go through the process, well, there's some major advantages. Hallelujah. I know it can come. I know it can go with such ease. It's made so easy if you have the right credentials. Well, God has had his own version of global entry for literally thousands of years. I'm telling you, you talk about paying the price. You have to consider what it's going to cost you in order to get kingdom entry. You have to go through an inspection that's way beyond what this world can inspect. But they look at all of your background. And it's not so much the background as are you willing to marry the one who allows you to come into the country. Amen. You have to be examined by the high priest. That's Jesus. And when your name is submitted to heaven, you get a new name, you get a new card, you get a new baptism, and then you are given a special entry credentials which fills you with his spirit. Now you can enter into the kingdom of God anytime, any place, for any reason. You can say you have to go through what religion says is important. You might have to tell some man what you've done, but you know what? I can walk right by the lines. I'm going to the kingdom of God this morning. God has facial recognition. He knows your face. Amen. No matter where you are, he knows who you are. Amen. And once you're examined for the first time, you don't have to be examined over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Kingdom entry. It's so wonderful. It's so freedom. No one can stop you at the border. Trouble can't stop you. Sickness can't stop you. I'm on my way to the kingdom. I'm sorry. Nobody's going to stop me because I get to go into the inner court of the king. I have a face-to-face with Jesus Christ anytime I want to because I've gone through the inspection. You have angelic bodyguards to help you make your way through unknown places. You see, we aren't like those who wait in line to get approval from God. We jump to the head of the line because we already have been approved. Now, there have been some that have tried to circumvent all of the paperwork and all of the background checks. They are the name droppers who declare, "But I know Jesus. Let me in." Hallelujah. Like Jesus is the password to get in, you know. I won't go there, but in Acts, the 19th chapter, the sons of Sceva, they wanted to exercise their spiritual might, you know, and the Spirit said, "We know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you?" Who are you? Well, if you really know him, you know what he said in John 3 and 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I looked up that word "verily" yesterday in the Greek, and it means to be firm or unyielding. I'm telling you, you can't get into the kingdom of God unless you're born of the water and the Spirit. That's what he's saying. It's not, "Oh, truly, truly, if you could do this." No, he's saying, "No, this is the only way you're going to get in." Hallelujah. There have been too many examples in the Bible of people who wanted to get in and couldn't get in. You'll turn to Matthew 7 and 21. I remember in the Bible study that I sat through, I wept over these scriptures because I knew God all my life. I felt I was a better person than a lot of people. But when I read this, it arrested my attention. Verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Uh-oh, restrictions. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Stopped at the border. The word new here in I never knew you is the same new which in Genesis that Adam knew Eve. There was an infilling of God's Spirit, a consummation of the marriage. And unless you have a consummation of the marriage, unless you have a certificate of marriage, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't ever want to get to that place where I get to the border. Amen. Everyone has to go through the same process to enter in. There's no exception. Except a man. No exceptions. Too many religions have invented their own kingdom entry process, and people thought that they were ready, and then they couldn't get in. You know? Too many man-made religions. Too many men or women who are in authority that says, you don't need your passport. I remember we took a group of people to Mexico probably 25 years ago, and the child of one of the people who went with us, didn't have approval from the father who wasn't with us, and they were going to not let him in. You know, we made some phone calls and did all kinds of things, and finally they allowed. But you can't just know the mother. You have to know the father too. You got to get the father's approval. The church can give you approval, but if God didn't give you approval, you know? So if you turn to Matthew 22, and verse number 10, we're talking about a certain king that made a marriage for his son. And verse number 10 says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Amen. That includes all of us. Amen. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith, these are written in red. And he, Jesus, saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Stopped at the border. Amen. You know, even Paul thought that he had global entry. Even Paul, even though he went to synagogue school and taught by the greatest of teachers, Gamaliel, he thought that he was ready to enter in, and even had credentials from the high priest, but they were counterfeit credentials. And when he got to that place where he thought he was doing right, can't get in. Glory to God. Would you turn to Acts, the 9th chapter? Acts chapter 9, starting in verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he's looking for credentials that would give him authority to bind some. You know, I'm glad that God gave those credentials to Peter. You know, here's the keys, here's the credentials, you know. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Whenever you persecute God's people, you're persecuting God. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that I know I'm at the border, what shall I do? You know, it would have been so simple. It would have been, in my estimation, so brilliant of God to simply say, you know, if you're not baptized in my name and filled with my spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. But you know what? He gave that privilege to you and me and every person that's on the face of the earth that have already experienced. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now his attitude has changed. Now I can't see. Now I realize I need somebody else to show me what I need to do. I was there. You were there. My attitudes changed. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Not enough. Now I need somebody to lead me through the Word of God and show me what I have to do. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called, I love God's sense of humor. I love it. Amen. The straight street. Amen. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings, and of the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and rose and was baptized. You finally got the global entry you wanted. You've been trying to get into the kingdom of God in so many ways. He was sincere in what he was doing. He was sincere in thinking that these people were heretics. And some of you may have been sincere thinking we were dingbats and heretics, crazy Pentecostals. And then God got a hold of you. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Here's a religious man who thought he was good to go, but he was wrong. Sincere, but sincerely wrong. You know, the hardest people to get saved are people who have a form of religion. The problem is that they think they have to denounce everything that they've believed up till this time, when it's a foundation for them to go further. Amen. Hallelujah. I did a baptism at the prison a couple of months ago, and the chaplain, a lady, was fairly new there but was responsible for the service. She said, Pastor, explain to everyone why you are baptizing them in Jesus' name. And so I made even a more of a concerted effort to show all of the scriptures concerning baptism in Jesus' name. And the following night, that night, she went before all of those who were in the service explaining why it was not necessary to be baptized in Jesus' name. There are those who push against the process. But you know what they're doing? They're kicking against the pricks. And when you persecute God's people, you're persecuting God. Now, I could have just said, well, that's too bad. But I called her supervisor. And I said, do you have other religions that come in to minister, you know, other denominations? They allow Wiccans to come in and all kinds of crazy things. They have powwows. And has she ever spoken against them? Why single us out? She said, I'll take care of it. No problem. Acts 22 and verse number 10. Now Paul is giving his testimony. You know, what happened to him? The most powerful thing that you and I have is our testimony. Here's what happened. Somebody invited me to this church. I didn't think I'd ever go back again. On and on. You have your own testimony, and it's powerful because it goes beyond the Word of God. It goes beyond a church. It signifies that you're not the same as you were before. Amen. So in verse 10 it says, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all of the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all of the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our father hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. There's the purpose for our testimony, folks. And now, why tarriest? Why wait? arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, or having the name of the Lord called over you. God has made it so simple for us, folks. So simple. It's going to take some effort. It's a straight gate. There's obstacles on both sides. Our family is going to be probably the worst obstacle because they won't understand us in our commitment. Global entry limits you to this world, but kingdom entry doesn't have any limits on it at all. You could go up to the third heaven if you've got kingdom entry. Hallelujah. Amen. There have been a number of godly people in the Bible that thought they were saved, but they weren't. And I'm so glad that God's allowed us to see that. Cornelius did everything he knew to do in order to enter into the kingdom of God. He lived the best life that he possibly could for God, probably even putting a lot of us to shame, and yet he did not have kingdom entry. He didn't have the proper credentials. So if you'll allow me to go to the 10th chapter of Acts, you know, these, sometimes I'm intimidated by, well, I know everybody's heard this. What if somebody's in here who hasn't heard it? Or maybe there's something that needs to be revived in us. So here's the first Gentile that would be saved, non-Jew, if you will. Acts 10 and 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now we get the description of him. A devout man, one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms or giving to the people and prayed to God always. Listen, this world would declare, you're saved, enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. But God wouldn't. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms. And the word prayer there means worship. Your worship and your giving are come up as a memorial before God. If there's two things that gets the attention of God more than anything else, it's our worship and our voluntary giving to the cause of God. And now, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Good guy, prayed always, gave much, but one thing thou lackest. Stopped at the border. I don't know, folks. For years I clung to John 3 and 16. You know, if I simply believe, and there are literally millions of people that believe that, but they get to the place where they're stopped at the border. They have a false sense of security because of false teachers who want to make it easier for you to enter in. Open borders. There is no such thing in God's kingdom. All right, one last scripture. Acts, the 19th chapter. Verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, these were people who were following Jesus. They were following his teaching. They probably were at many of his messages and saw the miracles. And he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So what this tells me is you don't get the Holy Ghost simply because you believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he said unto him, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." So if you haven't gotten the Holy Ghost yet, you probably don't know about baptism. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ." Now, that's where most of the denominational world stands. Just believe on Jesus. 12 disciples. Amen. When they heard this, they said, "We're fine with our old baptism. We're fine because we've accepted the Lord as our Savior. And this nonsense that you have to do more, no." Thank God they have the right spirit about this whole thing. "You don't understand. We've been following Jesus." No. "If there's more for me, I thank God I had an open mind when someone came to me and said, 'Hey, I went to Lutheran parochial school. Hey, I've been going to church all my life. Who are you?'" When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all of the men were about 12. It goes on to say they shook the whole world. Do you want kingdom entry? Come on. You want freedom? You want the benefits of the kingdom of God? You can have them. Amen. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? We should probably have some kind of buttons or displays on us that said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" You know, most think it's something that happened 2,000 years ago. But I'll tell you what, I'm so grateful that I've got heaven, kingdom, global entry. I am not stopped at the border here, and I will not be stopped at the border when my feet leave the ground. Hallelujah. All you need to do is apply. Amen. Pay a little bit. Right. Go through the inspection. The problem, the difference is here. When they did an inspection of my wife and I, they went way back and they didn't find anything. But when I applied for kingdom entry, they went way back. And they found more stuff than you could possibly write down. Oh. And you know what God said? "I don't remember it anymore because it's all been under the blood." Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you would stand, please. I said Wednesday night, almost every one of us have been in a situation where we're driving down the road and maybe there was something wrong with our speedometer, you know, and we happen to be going a little faster than we normally should be because of the laws. They have, you know, they have signs on the road that actually show the speed limit. And in fact, on my dash with this latest car, it tells you right on the dash what the speed limit is wherever you are. It's just very annoying. But then you're driving down the road, you know, nobody's watching. And then there's a car that's coming towards you, and they're blinking their lights. I know what they're trying to say. There's radar above. There's somebody who's taking your picture. And you could say, thank you for telling me. Or you could say, how dare you? How dare you judge me that I am speeding? You know? So, one provides freedom, another one provides a fine. I'm so glad that somebody blinked their lights at me, folks. You're going the wrong way. Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?